This is Nina, and you're listening to Nerd Out Space, the best place to let me in on your deepest, darkest secrets, because as it was said in the cinematic masterpiece, High School Musical, we're all in this together. This episode will contain slight spoilers on shows in the description. Trigger warning. Episode contains mentions of incest, big age difference in a relationship, sexual harassment, mental health, and many triggering things that happened on Riverdale. I'm sure I'm not the only one who enjoys certain things that aren't necessarily good, or that I maybe wouldn't be really like comfortable sharing on social media or with a large amount of people. But you already know me. I'm an open book, and sometimes I overshare. But I think you already know that. So in this episode, I would like to be a little more focused on the guilty pleasures in entertainment that I take part in. Some of these points will be actually really valid. Like, I will give you my arguments for why I think these are actually pretty good. And some will be just straight bullshit. But I'm sure we can do it together. Number one, TV shows. So, I'm a giant TV show watcher. Probably watched about hundreds upon hundreds of hours of them. And when it comes to trash TV, believe me, I'm an expert. There's probably no one else that would spend this much time browsing Netflix and just watching whatever nonsense that comes on. There are a few layers to my guilty pleasure of TV series that I watch, and the first layer is somewhat lighter. It's trash reality TV. I'm telling you, there is no better or cheaper therapy than just putting Love Island or Too Hot to Handle on when you come home after a long day and just simply be brain dead. And not to judge, even though we all kind of do, but it always makes me feel so much better because there will always be this one person that just pisses you off so much and is just so stupid. And when I'm down, it always cheers me up. There's just nothing more relaxing than seeing very horny people cause drama, but let's get up to the denser layers. Shadowhunters. So, Shadowhunters is probably my second biggest guilty pleasure when it comes to TV series because of a few things. I've already talked about Shadowhunters in the first episode, but to the new travelers over here, let me explain real quick. It's a story based on the book series by Cassandra Clare called Mortal Instruments that's full of demon hunting and angels and romance and, well, incest that, like, really isn't incest, but, you know, isn't it though? Doesn't matter, but I was very invested when I think CW announced a remake since the movie didn't do so great, you know? And I mean, I wasn't disappointed, but yeah, hear me out. Even though I thoroughly enjoyed the series and even rewatched it multiple times, the acting in the first two seasons was just simply horrendous. And not to just shit on Cad McNamara, but she was probably the most inexperienced out of the entire crew, so her acting was like one facial expression throughout the entire season. It was like when Hermione told Ron that he has the emotional range of a spoon. And to be fair, Dominic Sherwood was also kind of iffy at first. The one who was actually worth watching was Harry Shum Jr. His portrayal of this eccentric warlock that is just so over the top, but has actual depth to him, was simply chef's kiss. His makeup and costumes were always on par with many, many, many better shows. Even though he was probably the only one, like, the show got progressively so much better. So, like, I mean it. And it actually started feeling worth watching, but, like, I understand that when you're starting out, the budget isn't big. You don't know if people will like it, but if we just use the budget that was used for Cad McNamara's hair and makeup and put it into the CGI. Because, look, when you're 16 and fighting 10 demons, and then you're just, like, covered in blood and you're half dying, your curls will just not stay in perfect shape, and neither will your fake lashes. I just want one normal portrayal of a female character in young adult media. Please, just one. Just one. I beg you. I beg you. So, yeah, the CGI and the props were just the saddest. Really, just like the saddest part about the TV show. And the biggest problem is that when I started actually enjoying it because of all these things that actually got so much better with time and made me invested, the show got cancelled. Like, why though? The fans literally bought a billboard on Times Square. Like, that's some dedication. You see, people were actually coming around a lot, and then it was just rushed to an end. So sad. I really loved the plot and the tension created in between the characters, and even some subplots were either really pure or just simply funny. So yeah, even though this show sucked on a few major points, I was still sad to see it gone. Riverdale. So, Riverdale is the number one worst show on this planet. No one, and I mean this, no one can convince me otherwise. You might try, but you will most likely roll a nat one, meaning not only you will fail, but you will also be most likely spontaneously set on fire after you do so. And this entire fact just makes me so sad, because Riverdale just had so much potential when it was starting out. Like, you know, I'm a sucker for a good murder mystery. I eat up the books by Karen McManus, like they're my favorite snack, just because she excels at writing murder mysteries. And Riverdale also started like one, a murder mystery where a girl and her brother go boating or whatever, and later that day he's found shot. We're introduced to a very interesting set of characters based on the Archie comics, which, I mean, is unexpected, but not the worst. What is the worst, though, is the fact that at this point, I think the writers are, like, on crack, and that's no cap. Like, my cat and my dog would probably write a better show. I mean, listen, at this point, Cheryl has burned down her family's mansion, Betty, who is supposed to be 15 or 16 at the time, did a striptease in front of her parents and other strange adults. Drugs were sold, gangs were joined, dead bodies were hidden, cults were joined, and Archie was shirtless for the biggest part of that. Speaking of Archie, he probably kissed every single person in town that isn't Jughead, which is actually highly anticipated by the fandom, so I feel like that could really skyrocket the views, and yet it's being neglected, but I digress. It's so funny to me to see how even the actors themselves are just like so desperate to have their contract terminated, and in every interview they do, they just trash on the show. But hey, bad publicity is still publicity, am I right? So why I consider this a guilty pleasure though? I just cannot stop watching it for the life of me. I can't. I invested so much time, so much energy, so much emotion into this, and now that apparently the writers are taking many different substances, I just want to see what bullshit they do next. And so far, they really never disappoint. Although, I see what you did with Betty and Archie, and I hate all of you. Number 2. Anime. Listen, guys. Even if I try, I will not care about the endless hate that is there on SAO or, you know, Sword Art Online, even though I fully realize why it is a thing and why and where it went downhill to. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still just a small, hopeless romantic, and you don't see quite often what Kirito and Asuna have in other anime that isn't completely romance-centered. I enjoyed SAO probably until the end of, like, the Gun Gale Online arc. Even the part where they were fairies and Kirito was saving Asuna and stuff, I don't really care much about Alicization, even though I will probably finish it eventually. And the reason why I am able to ignore all the bullshit and the milking of something that was once really good and isn't anymore is mostly because of their relationship. As I said, you don't ever get this type of relationship treatment in anime like this. Relationships are usually just teased, and then they happen, like, you know, Naruto and Hinata, or Deku and Uraraka. The teenage boys in there usually don't go like, hey, you know what, I'ma marry you after we're done here, that okay with you? Like, when I say the fight when they killed the guy, Kuradale, or whatever his name was, and then they kissed, and Kirito promised his life to Asuna forever, and it made me weep. I ain't lying. I wept like a turtle, and it clenches up my heart every time I see it. Like, I'm sorry, community, I'm probably a failure. I have failed you, but I stand them so hard. I'm sorry. Number 3. Movies. So, when it comes to movies, I'd say I'm pretty simple to please. Like, once me and my partner went to the movies without knowing what we want to see, and just chose a random post-apocalyptic film that was airing, and I came out of the theater like, wow, that was so good, even though the internet clearly stated otherwise. But there are a few things that I dislike, and those are mostly American comedies and rom-coms. Most of them are just so cringy, and I'm unable to watch them due to my secondhand shame that comes on every single time. And I mean it, like, my secondhand shame is bad, because when something cringy happens, I either have to switch the TV off or simply walk away. I can't handle being flustered in a fictional being's stead. And there are a few comedies and rom-coms I am very guilty of enjoying for some reason. So when it comes to pieces like 27 Dresses or 13 Going on 30, for some reason, when they're on, I just scream and I dig into the couch and watch, even though I don't even like watching TV anymore. Like, the dub made me hate national TV, because when I hear some of my favorite shows like the Big Bang Theory dubbed, I just wanna tear my ears out and cry in the corner of our attic. Like, all the good jokes are gone. And even shows that aren't usually all that funny just get straight up bad. But with these movies, the nostalgia just kicks in really hard. Like, they have been airing since my childhood, and they were usually set as evening movies, which we used to watch as a family. So even when it's dubbed, I kind of still enjoy it. And if that's not high praise for me, I frankly don't know what is. Number 4. Books. Folks, when I say I'm passionate about books, I might be lying, because I cannot even express with words, like, how much I love books. In my somewhat short lifetime, I've read a shitload of them. Some of them from the library, some of them at my home. The poor baby ones are still waiting to feel my touch, deprived, sitting in my bookshelf. And I've hated plenty of books too. And if there's something I just cannot stop reading if I tried, like, for the life of me, it would be Sarah J. Maas, the Court series, and the Crescent City series as well. I have yet to read Throne of Glass because, I don't know, this might be, like, extremely unpopular and frowned upon, but the cover of the book kind of makes me really uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to look at it, and when I look at it, I lose all will to read it. So, yeah, but I did go through the entire Court series and even started Crescent City on time as well. It basically just came out a few months ago, I guess. Or maybe not. Corona makes me lose track of time. But if you don't know Court of Thorns and Roses, it's basically like a Beauty and the Beast retelling, or at least it starts that way. And it's from a perspective of a fae world, which I really love. I love, like, fae folktales and stuff. But after a while, it becomes a horny mess. And not to say I don't love it, I do. But I feel like the readers of Sarah J. Maas at this point just have to be horny on main to put up with these kind of things. It's basically just smut with some plot in between. And it makes me a little sad, because Sarah actually isn't a bad writer at all, even though her diversity writing kind of sucks, but, you know, I feel like she's at least trying to get better at that because of all the backlash. But in most of the books, she's kind of just, like, dragging everything really slowly, and all the interesting things that happen are just, like, the sex scenes in between that. But, and this is a very important point, but when I read her Crescent City book 1, The House of Earth and Blood, I was fairly confused, because not only is the book like 800 pages, it's also just like full, and I mean full of shameless info dumping. And if you're a writer, or if you just at least a little bit know something about writing, you know you don't want your reader to be confused by your info dumping, and it should, in most times, be really, like, seamless. They shouldn't really notice that they are being info dumped. In this case, it was just, like, so obvious. info dumping, and it was really confusing because there was just like so much of it every single page. But to be frank, when I say I was an absolute train wreck for the last 200 pages, because if there is one thing Sarah J. Maas is really great at, it's the book's build-up and climax. Get it? Climax? Because she's a smut writer? No? Never mind. But really, when the book reaches its highest tension point, plot twists start to arise, and basically everything is in chaos, and that is when she really thrives and reels you in. And I have to give it to her. Like, she really got me like a fish. I can't stop, even though most of the time when I read it, I keep thinking, why am I enjoying this? And then I always remember that the last 200 pages will be, without a fault, the wildest ride of my life, and I'm happy again. Number 5. Webtoons. First, I'd like to say that if any of y'all are sleeping on Webtoon, you should really pick up your sad butt and go read some. I'll even go so far as to give you recommendations through whatever of my social media, like Twitter, Instagram, Discord. You already know how this goes. You can find all of them at nerdoutspace.card2rs.co. Like co, not com. I messed that up myself before. And if you're listening to this on YouTube, you can even find the link in the description. Or just, you know, comment your favorite genre and I will happily comply with a handful. But now to why this is even a category. I got two words for you. Lore Olympus. Lore Olympus is a webtoon by many people considered somewhat problematic, mostly because of the age difference in the story of Persephone and Hades. Yeah, like the Greek gods. Many people get kind of weird when it comes to the age and the portrayal of the two lovers in the story, since Hades is like really big, blue, and like thousands years old, while Persephone is, what, freshly 18? Pink, small, curvy, really cute. And while I completely understand why some people might be triggered or made really uncomfortable by this dynamic, which is why I do not try to convince anyone to read it if they don't want to, I personally really love not only the style in which the webtoon is made and the story of the two mythological lovers that is portrayed beautifully, but also the side plots and some difficult topics that are discussed. If you know anything about media, you know that you don't often get to see a good portrayal of rebuilding your mental health after a traumatizing experience like sexual harassment or the normal life that the person tries to lead afterwards. It was very eye-opening, at least for me, to be able to, you know, better empathize with victims of such horrendous acts. So, yeah, if you feel okay reading, like, about these kind of topics and would like to maybe get a little more insight on them, I'd recommend this webtoon, even though I consider it a guilty pleasure. Number 6. Songs. I've stated before on this podcast that I wasn't always a big fan of rap, and it was mostly a thing of personal preference, but to be fair, my liking for it didn't completely surface only thanks to nerdcore music. If you enjoy Megan Thee Stallion, I'm sure you can relate at least a little bit. Megan is, I would say, by a big group of people considered somewhat controversial, probably because of the entire, you know, like, WAP situation, which I personally find extremely hilarious. Not only was Megan never supposed to be a role model to children, she has always made music that is explicitly sex positive, she also didn't do anything wrong by publishing such a song. I feel like her and Cardi B have faced such a strong backlash for absolutely no reason whatsoever, since there have been many different male rappers before them who produce content very similar in topics to theirs. Like, have you ever heard of the Wait, aka the Whisper song? I mean, how is it any different? And have you ever heard anyone trashing that? No? That's strange. I guess when a woman does it, she's just instantly considered to be shameful and a slut on top of it. You just love to see it, right? Anyway, the song I chose from her for this episode is Simon Says, and the reason why I consider it a guilty pleasure of mine is probably that if I were to let my grandparents or teachers or some of my acquaintances know or take a listen, I'd probably get a few not the nicest looks. So if you don't usually, you know, you don't usually put Captain Hook on repeat when someone you've just met asks you about what kind of music you listen to, right? But, I mean, I guess everyone knows now that I'm stating it on multiple platforms with millions and millions of users. But hey, we're sex positive in this house, so ultimately, there really shouldn't be anything to be ashamed of. Number 7. YouTube channels. Dylan is in trouble. So, I was debating making an entire episode on Dylan because I just stand the dude so hard. But then I decided it would be kind of really funny to include him in this list, especially if he got to hear it. And ultimately, I wouldn't say there's anything specific for which I'd consider him a guilty pleasure of mine, although maybe like his bad sex jokes and the Sour Patch Kids drama and sometimes not making any sense whatsoever would be valid. Like when he received a YouTube play button and just wrote Ooga Booga on it instead of like his channel's name, like, you know, normal people do. But you have to admire the determination with which he basically made a channel titled Ooga Booga right afterwards. Like, if that ain't dedication, I don't know what is. And why I enjoy to watch Dylan, though, is not only because he's such a, like, nice person overall, and his terrible jokes make him actually kind of funny sometimes, but also because he has created a community on YouTube that I think is the epitome of what YouTube actually should be about. I haven't read a single negative comment on Dylan's person or content for the years I follow him. The fanbase basically divided itself into the Sims that are like, oh my gosh, if Dylan not supposed to be hot, why exist then? And then the shit posters that just keep vibing with whatever he publishes, it doesn't matter. And it makes your day instantly better, because on this channel, things like repeated jokes aren't funny anymore no longer apply. The more times it's repeated, the funnier it gets, really. I mean it, just listen to me, go watch whatever he has made, I'll vouch. Number 8. Mobile games. So, I'm not the biggest gamer on the planet, mostly because I'm a perfectionist and I cry a lot, but see, sometimes even stupid people need to unwind, which is when my favorite games come in. So, there are two of my guilty pleasure games that are a go-to whenever I'm bored or just want to let my brain melt into a mush of nothing. The first one is Choices. If you've ever been anywhere on the internet, I'm sure you saw an ad for one of the many interactive romance games that exist on this planet. Well, you guessed it, Choices have won over my life. And before you judge me, in my defense, some games are actually pretty good. Don't look at me like that, it's true. There is a bunch of like horror games or fantasy stories like The Crown and Flame, which I enjoy a lot because I get to buy cool weapons and befriend magical creatures, which is a win in my bag in every single situation. And I know that probably didn't persuade you at all and you're still judging, but there is also something I really appreciated about the game in the last few weeks, and that is when I started a new book. I don't remember which exactly it was, but it gave you the love interest option, which in most books is like, do you want girls or boys? But in this one, it was like, do you want girls or boys or both or none? And while I have seen in some of the books ask both for the bis or pans out there, I've never seen them acknowledge asexuals or aromantics, so that made me very, very happy. Good job, Choices. Keep it up. So the second part of my mobile game's guilty pleasure is Clash Royale. Even though I haven't played it in a while, I come back from time to time to check in if I still rock, and guess what? I do! So, like it happens in many games, I'm looking at you, Hearthstone, I let my partner make a deck of cards to play with, so it's probably because he understands my playstyle much better than I do, and sometimes it has proven to be very effective. When I started playing, I was like, dude, I'm gonna be at your level in a year's time, and guess what? I did it. I rock. I'm the best. I don't care about your opinions on this game. I'm great at it. That almost never happens. I will cherish it forever, most likely. Number 9. Games. So, you know how this entire pandemic started like 2 years ago or something? Yeah, well, I wanted to be able to spend time with my friends and my partner doing something fun. So I have absolutely no idea why we landed on League of Legends, but hey, here I am, a proud Jinx main that plays with 3000 ping on a computer that isn't much better than a microwave. But you know what? I told myself I'd learn how to play so I can say, yeah, I do play games. No, lol, I would love to learn how to play more games, but my poor old computer probably couldn't handle much of that, even if I tried. And, you know, me being me, that didn't have much experience playing ever before, coming to this MOBA, I was like, so confused. Like, first thing I did when I was playing alone, I took Misfortune and rushed mid. And there was this Smurf in our team that basically carried all four of us newbies, and he flamed us the entire time, like, do y'all have no idea what you're doing? And I was like, yeah, mister, that would be my case. That's basically it. So I'd like to say that I'd got better, I guess. I did, somewhat, but there's only so much you can do with this PC and this internet. I frankly cannot stress how much I hate this game, especially playing ADC, which basically guarantees you can get one-shotted at any given time. But I also kind of love it, you know? Jinx is the best. Jinx for president. I can't wait for her TV series. And you better expect some more League content from me in the future, but also, someone help, please. I beg you, help me. Number 10. Website. Tumblr. What a hellhole. I mean, I feel like when you're on Tumblr, there are just three things you can do. Either you shitpost, you're a horny mess, or you simp over something or someone. Doesn't matter, be it a person or an activity. There is no in-between. Although, yes, you can do multiple of these at the same time. But which one I do, you will just have to find out for yourselves, because a lady never tells. My little travelers, we are now getting to the very end of my soul. I have bared it entirely for you, and now I really, really hope you don't hate me. And if you do hate me, maybe please keep listening to the podcast. No, really, it makes me very happy that you listen to me, guys. And I want to thank all of you that support me through my Twitter, my Discord, my Instagram. You all are the best, really. This is a shout out for you. This was a wild ride, but I enjoyed it. As always, you have been an absolute delight. I've been Nina, without much of a change. And you just swam to the very ends of Nerd Out Space.